Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited you'd spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. Let me just wish you a happy new year. And I just believe that 2022 is going to be an amazing year for you, your family, and the kingdom of God. And so, listen, before we get into the scriptures this morning, I want to highlight just two quick announcements. Number one is I want to remind everybody that starting January 10th through the 14th, we're doing our New Year's prayer and fasting. And so we're going to take from the 10th to the 14th, we're going to have a time of dedicated prayer and fasting. And by the way, we have these prayer and fasting guides available. Both there's a digital form that you can go to our website and get, or we have hard copies here at the church. And so we'd love it if you would join with us in prayer. We'll actually have prayer calls taking place at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. each days. Each of those days from the 10th to the 14th. And so won't you join us as we pray in a new year? And then lastly, I just wanted to remind you, I'm wearing my Give Life bracelet. And so if you haven't got your bracelet yet, you need to come to church, and we have one for you. And it's just a reminder of our giving campaign that through the months of December and January, we've actually been taking up a special offering. Really that it's going to go to three places. One is Operation Ultrasound. Number two, it would be part of it. The proceeds is going to go to Lighthouse Pregnancy Centers. And then lastly, a third of it will stay here with us at Every Nation New Jersey as we hope to give new life in Christ. So may God richly bless you as God just places on your heart what perhaps you would like to give in order to give life to others. And so without any ado, what would you say we get into the scriptures? I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's a familiar passage of scripture. But before we get there, I need to kind of catch you up to the context of what we're going to be reading. And so the book of Hebrews was actually written to a group of Jewish believers who they were just getting exhausted, getting tired, feeling isolated and alone. They were being persecuted for their faith in Christ, and they were just about ready to quit. And I don't know if you've ever been there in your life, or you just experience this sense of just being all alone in what you do and just ready to throw in the towel. But the author of Hebrews, he begins to point out the fact, oh man, that Jesus is a better Savior. We have a better covenant. And then the book crescendos at Hebrews 11. It's what's known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the author of Hebrews reminds these people that are exhausted and weary, hey, remember the story. Remember how Abraham by faith did this, how Noah by faith did this, how Sarah by faith did this. And so they recount the heroes, the Hall of Fame of Faith, to encourage us, know that they were faithful and they're part of God's story. And I got news for you. Now it's time for us to play our part in the story of God. And that's the great news of 2022. And so let me read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because just like faithful Abraham, faithful Noah, Sarah, Jacob, so on and so forth, how they were all faithful in their time. Now these faithful witnesses are speaking to you and I. Hey, it's your turn in the story. It's your turn. And so it says, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so I want to remind you, man, that you have a great race to run in 2022. I'm not sure if you remember the story of Dylan McCullough. He's actually a running back coach for the Kansas City Chiefs in the National Football League. And ESPN did a fascinating piece on Dylan. Do you know, as an infant, he was adopted. So his birth mother was a woman by the name of Carol Briggs. She herself, when she got pregnant, it was unplanned. She was just a child, and yet she chose to have the baby. And so she went off, kind of in secret, and then she delivered the baby, and she called him John. And then she immediately put him up for adoption, and his adoptive parents renamed him Deland. And unfortunately, the adoptive couple, they would divorce, and then Deland would be grow up with his adoptive mom. But there would be a lot of anger and issues underlying for Deland. But he could get his frustration and his anger out on the football field, where Deland excelled until finally his high school years, that NCAA colleges were coming to recruit him to come to their university. And so he recalls this one time where the University of Miami, one of their coaches, a man by the name of Sherman Smith, he rolled into the high school in this sweet Mercedes Benz. And so that immediately got young Deland's eye and his attention. And sure enough, Sherman Smith would convince him to go to the University of Miami. And so Sherman Smith would be like a mentor and a friend. And sure enough, Deland would get drafted to the NFL. Unfortunately, his career was cut short by several injuries. But he decided, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of my mentor and friend, Sherman Smith. And so he follows in his footsteps and begins to enter the coaching ranks. And all this simultaneously, Deland, now the adoption laws had changed. And he was gonna try and research and find his biological mother and father. And so he was able to locate on Facebook his biological mom, Carol Briggs. And he reached out and he said, "Would you perhaps like to meet?" And she was ecstatic to meet her son. And then in passing on Facebook Messenger, he asked his biological mother, Carol Briggs, "Who is my biological father?" There was a pause, dot, dot, dot. And then suddenly she says, you don't know him, but his name is Sherman Smith. His mentor, friend, a father figure was in fact his father. And so I believe we have an image of the family reunited again. But I say all that to reference this, that Deland would say this then. He says, "Now I know who I am and where I'm from." He says, "I have the pieces to the story." And that's our launching point here this morning is that I don't know if you recall, but like God's people were in Egyptian slavery for 400 years. And then when they're released, when they're freed from slavery, God splits the Red Sea and does all this. But they suddenly, they're a people that without an identity. They were raised in Egyptian culture. They were raised with all these foreign pagan gods. And so Moses, he needs to reorient their identity. And how does he do that? He pens the book of Genesis. It's their story, and it's our story as well. And it's his way of reorienting the people of God over who they are. What's their identity? And so Genesis, the word Genesis, it just means beginnings. And in it, it starts, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And this is the most densely packed, sentence that has ever been spoken. Because in it, we see that in the beginning, there's a benevolent, loving God who created everything. And here's what that means for you and me, is that hope, it springs eternal. That we know that this God is good because all he created is good. We know this, that he's all powerful. And because he's all powerful, man, there's nothing that he can't do or won't do on our behalf. And so he informs them, number one, with God. And then we read up that the cosmos, it was formless and void. And this benevolent God, what does he do? He starts to form and fill. Form and fill. And so days 1 through 4, he forms the land, the dry ground from the oceans and from the sky. And then what does he do? Days 5 and 6, he starts to fill it with life. And so we see that he fills the oceans, with the fish of the sea and the skies with the birds of the air and the animals, to roam the ranges of the land. And then we see this, that God, he forms man from the dust of the earth, and then he fills humanity with his very breath, the breath of God. In the Hebrew, it's the ruach. It is the spirit of God that animates humanity. And now suddenly we get really the unthinkable. In Genesis 1, verse 28, it is the cultural mandate. It is the reason why you and I exist. And it means that your life and my life is unbelievably significant, filled with meaning, depth, and purpose. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says this, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so we see this, that we're to be fruitful, to multiply as image bearers of God. We bear the image of God, and then we form things and we fill it with the glory of God and the Spirit of God. And that's our purpose, image bearers of God in the earth. But suddenly that image is shattered in Genesis chapter 3. Sin is introduced into the world. Adam and Eve rebel against God. And now suddenly God says that the earth, it's cursed because of sin. And so this helps us explain why there's COVID, why there's cancer, why there's division in the earth. It's because sin has entered in and fractured God's perfect creation. And that's not all. But on that day when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, something died in the heart of man. The book of Romans would say this, that our foolish hearts, they grew dark. What happened? We lost the ruach. We lost the wind, the breath of God in our souls. But the great news of Christmas and Easter is that God came and became a man. And through his perfect life, sacrificial death, and he rose again from the dead. And do you remember what Jesus did in John chapter 20 as he's resurrected from death? He gathers his disciples together, and then it says this, he breathed upon them and he said this, receive the Holy Spirit. Like, did you catch that? We got the breath back. The ruach of God, the Spirit, was returned to us. And here's what's such amazing news is the Bible is clear that the Spirit whispers and testifies to our spirit that we're children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I would submit to you that the Spirit is constantly reminding us of who we are. Our primary identity is that of a children of God. And so let me illustrate it this way. Is, do you know, a good friend of mine, Mike DeVito, he's a former New York Jet, big D lineman. He was a run stopper and he ferociously loved Jesus. And so we would at times go and minister to people together. And there was a guy in our church, his father was dying of cancer. And this dad didn't know Jesus yet. And so he was also a staunch, crazy New York Jets fan. And so Mike being with the Jets, we went and we had a captive audience. And so we visited this sick man and we began to tell him the story of the gospel and the hope there is in Jesus Christ and the fact that he could be a child of God. And guess what? He invited Jesus into his life. And in that moment, he went from being a child of wrath to a child of Almighty God. And here's what's so fascinating. Do you know, close to a month after that, that he passed away. And as Mike and I, we went to the funeral services, it was fascinating. They had all these little areas that represented some of his identity, his personality. And so the deceased man, that he was a former fireman. And so there was some fireman memorabilia there. And then this guy, he was also a husband. And so there's pictures of he and his wife, and he was a dad. And so he was also a Jet fan, and there was these autographed football. And the reason why I point to all of these different things is, do you know what? He's no longer a fireman. That it's no longer his identity. He's no longer a husband, a dad, or even a Jet fan. But you know what he is? He still continues to be, for all eternity, a child of God. It is our primary identity, and it's the thing that roots us and anchors us. And so as we enter a new year here in 2022, I want to reorient us around our identity in Christ as children of God. And so I'm going to show this brief slide. This is in Every Nation New Jersey First. I drew up a slide and had Zart Siri, our admin, kind of do this up. So this is a first. So in it, but I wanted to highlight, give you a visual of the fact that our primary identity as children of God, it is the thing that informs, it forms and fills each of our secondary identities. And so for myself, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm an employee, you know, a pastor. I'm a friend. All these different secondary identities, it must be fed and informed through the primary identity of being a child of God. And so here's what I know. If you'll do this, allow these secondary identities to be filled and formed by your identity in Christ, here's what it'll do. It'll make you the best you you can be. And that's great news for 2022. Like you'll be the best father, the best husband, whatever. Why? Because you're being informed by the creator of all things of how to be a husband, of how to be a dad, of how to be an employee and a worker. And so the creator informs the creation how it's optimal and how it best fits. And so we had a bit of a disagreement in my home the other day. I know it's hard to believe, but I was loading the dishwasher in our home, and my wife saw me open it up and put it the dishwasher tab, the little compartment that they have for it, and she informed me that her girlfriend had told her of a friend who is a carpenter, and that carpenter said that, hey, it actually breaks your dishwasher when you put the tab in the compartment. You're supposed to just chuck it in there. And so I had to pause, and I'm like, wait a minute. So what you're telling me is your friend, their girlfriend, who knew somebody, their carpenter, he knows better how the dishwasher works better than the designer who designed this compartment to be there for that. I think I'm going to go with the designer. And so, but how often do we take all these secondary things and we try to make up how they'll work best instead of going to the primary identity from the creator, how they work best? And so there's also security that when your primary identity is rooted in God and being a child of God, it's unbelievably secure because it's eternal. It's unchanging. So I used to be an athlete. Well, guess what? I'm no longer athletic. And so what happens if all my identity was caught up in being an athlete? Well, when my body fails me and I can no longer be athletic, who am I? Well, listen, if you know that you're a child of God, then that secondary identity, it doesn't define who you are. Here'll be another one. Is that here's what, like, I can be secure in my primary identity, and I don't need you to affirm all my secondary identities. So in other words, I don't need you to agree with me or affirm. I can be secure knowing as long as I'm pleasing my Heavenly Father that I'm in line, okay? And so I don't know if you've noticed today, but our culture is very much insecure about who they are. And so to speak something against somebody, maybe their sexual identity or whatever it may be, that suddenly it becomes assault on their personhood. Because what we're doing is we're taking that secondary identity, be it being a husband, a father, maybe your sexual identity, whatever it may be, and you're trying to make that primary in your life, and it just can't bear the weight of it. It can't bear the weight of it. And so so anyways, but here's something else it does. As we're secure in our primary identity in Jesus as children of God, you know what else? It frees me to celebrate people. Like, I'm secure in who God made me to be, so I don't see you as a threat. I can celebrate you. Get this, I can disagree with you and still be secure and still have the freedom to love you well. And so it is the place to be is, remember, primary identity informs all the other secondary identities in our life. Have I beat that horse sufficiently? Hebrews 12, chapter 1, remember as well, we read that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. And so as we approach, and now we're entered in to 2022, I love back in the Genesis verse where it says we're supposed to fill the earth and subdue it. And so I thought, man, maybe I'll title this message, Subdue in 22. But I thought that'd be kind of cheesy, so we won't do that. But here is my challenge to you as we're fresh into a new year. Are there two things that you can add and subtract to your life? So one thing you're adding and one thing you're subtracting that would make you a more full expression of the image of God in the earth. One thing to add to your life and one thing to subtract. And I think if you can answer that question, you'll be all the better for it in 2022. In fact, let me share the story of Bob Beamon. And if you don't know him, he was actually an Olympic long jumper back in the 1968 Olympics. And he was a relative unknown, this Bob Beamon. And yet he found himself in the finals for the long jump at the Olympic Games. The Russian was favored, and he was competing against the two former Olympic gold medalists. And so it didn't seem as if Bob Beamon even had a prayer to win. So how surprised was everybody when Bob Beamon, he began the long jump, he runs, he hits his mark, and he flies, and the jump lasts 6 seconds in the air. However, after he landed, it took them 20 minutes to measure how far he had jumped, because he had out-jumped the devices used to measure the long jump. And so get this, Bob Beamon, normally when you break a world record, it's by inches. He broke the world record by 2 feet. That man jumped 29 feet, 2.5 inches. It's just been christened the jump, and I think we have an image of it. But here's a backstory. Here's what you might not know, is that Bob Beamon, he almost didn't make it to the final heat, because in the qualifying rounds, he had fouled out twice, and it's a 3 strikes and you're out. But before his final jump in the qualifying round, his teammate, Ralph Boston, called him aside, and here's the words he spoke to him. He says, "Take off early. You have room to spare. Give him 2 inches on the front and you'll take 2 feet when you land." He says, "Your legs have never been as strong as they are right now. At this moment, your body weighs nothing. Your mind has wings. Use them." He says, "Fly up and fly out." And with those words, Bob Beamon would shatter the world record. And I want to borrow that encouragement from Ralph Boston. If you give God 2 inches on the front end, he'll give you 2 feet on the back end. And so, like, are there two things, one thing that you can add and one thing that you can subtract as we are here entered into a new year? And I promise you, if you do that, then God will add something beautiful on the back end of 2022 to your life. And so I want to encourage you with that. And then here's a Hebrews 12:1. Also, it says that there's a specific race marked out for you. Like, you have a race that is unique to you. Let me read Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And I kind of always giggle that women use these verses in women's ministry or conferences. Just want you to know that Psalm 139 is written by a dude, ladies. So it's ours too, okay? But Psalm 139 is a powerful text. And it says this in verse 13. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them for the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And so, here's what we see is that you've been uniquely made by God, and you've been written into the story of God. And guess what? It's your turn in the story. And here's the great news, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of your story in mind. He knows exactly what you need to do, always called you to do. I recently heard a pastor, it's my new favorite saying. He says that you were made for the day, and the day was made for you. You have everything you need to do all God's called you to do. And so I want to encourage you with this, that we have a sovereign God who is the author and the finisher of your life. And so it was amazing as I took time to kind of remember and look back in the rearview mirror of my life, and I just see the sovereign hand of God working everywhere, because I knew he has a specific race for my life. And get this, So my race early in my life would revolve around the idea of playing, being a hockey player. Right. And here's something so cool. I don't know if you've read the book by Malcolm Gladwell. It's called Outliers. And in that book, Gladwell, he points out this stat. Did you know that if you're born in the month of January, that the likelihood of you being able to play in the National Hockey League, it increases by 40%. And so it's an insane number. And here's why I say all that to say this is did you know that I was born 2 months premature? And so I actually came out way early. And guess what month it fell on? January, right? And so why? Because that my race was going to have to do with hockey. But here was something that was problematic. I wasn't very good at it. How many know you need to be good if you're going to play pro hockey? And so my dad was my first coach, and I guess you can't cut your kid and kick him off the team, so I had to be on the team. But my dad said this. He says, you kept falling down, but you always got back up again. See, intricately woven into me was this fierce determination that I'm gonna win and learn how to do this or die trying. And so that was God that did that, because he had seen all my days and know what I needed for my race. Then at 16 years old, someone put me onto a verse in the book of Habakkuk, and it says this, that you're to write the vision down and write a vision for your life. And when you write it, it'll surely come to pass. And so it's not some magic formula, but it gives you something to aim at. And I can remember as a 16-year-old kid, I'm writing out that I want to play pro hockey and use it as a platform to make much of Jesus. Hey, I want to make good money so I can fund the kingdom of God. And I want to play till the age of 33. Now, I wish in retrospect I would have said 40, because every single one of those things came to pass. Why? Because God had a story, a specific race for me. And then guess what? That my race was going to change. After several back surgeries, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to come back and continue to play in the NHL. And it was crazy. There was this guy who has a prophetic gifting on his life. And he just yelled out to me. He says, Adam, I feel like this is from the Lord for you. He says, it's going to be sooner than later. And I thought to myself, oh, good, I'm going to make a comeback sooner than later. Well, little did I know, actually, it'd mean I'd be out of the NHL and I would become a pastor a year later. And listen, I got into pastoring, no idea what I was doing. Honestly, I still don't really know what I'm doing, but here's what I do know. God's given me everything I need to do all he's called me to do. Why? Because he's writing his story and he's formed me and fashioned me that I was made for the day. And the day was made for me. And then here's our kind of last point that I want to highlight is in Hebrews 12:1 that we read this, that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Do you remember our how we started this in the book of Hebrews, that it was about people that they were just tired and exhausted, wanting to quit, feeling alone. And yet the encouragement was, hey, that Noah by faith, Abraham by faith, that all these people by faith did this. They played their part in the story of God, and you're going to be able to play yours. And get this, now that there's a heavenly audience, that they're up watching. They're the cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on from our story. And I don't know if you've ever read the book of God's story, but victory is inevitable. We cannot lose. But there's moments in our life where we just feel exhausted, like we want to quit. And I just want to give you a vision for the heavenly audience that is there cheering us on. And so I'm going to show you this film clip. Someone has actually brought in their camera, and they were filming the Avengers Endgame. And so the quality of the movie is not going to be great. But here's what I want you to pay attention to. I want you to see the cloud of witnesses as they're watching their heroes rise from the dead, so to speak, and they just lose their mind. Let me show you the clip. Wasn't that powerful? I mean, you see everyone just going nuts and losing their mind. And so there's a heavenly audience. They're like, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to do it. You're going to be amazing. And if I could just have a moment of transparency with you is like, if I was to be real, like, did you see that shot of, you know, Captain America just sitting there and he just felt alone and defeated and didn't know if he had any fight left in him? But what began to happen? All these Avengers, these heroes began to come back from seemingly the dead, and they stood alongside Captain America. And what came? Strength, strength. And the fight again rose inside of them. And so I say that to say this, that maybe you have felt like you're alone. And I want to just encourage you, you're not alone. That God's bringing others alongside of you. And here's my point of transparency is, can I shoot you straight? Is that the last couple of years, it's been extremely difficult to be a leader in any capacity. And so with the division and politics and just so many different things with the COVID, it's been very, very difficult. And there's been moments where I just felt like isolated, alone, and wasn't sure if I had any more fight. Like that image we had of Captain America. But God in His grace, He's been adding people to our church here locally. He's been adding people online digitally. And suddenly you realize you're not alone, but there's others here that will stand with you. And I just want to speak prophetically over your life that, listen, you're not alone. And God's adding others to your world that will stand with you and fight beside you. And you're going to run the race. You're going to play your part in the story of God, because it's our turn in this story. And let me pray over you. Father, I just thank you for this time that we spent together. And Lord, I pray indeed, may a heavenly wind just begin to blow in the hearts of men and women that have grown weary. They feel isolated and alone. Oh God, may you let them know, bring others. Lord, may strength arise in their life. And I declare in Jesus' name that in 2022, you're going to run your race. In the name of Christ, amen. Well, listen, God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey. And the sermon's over, but I did want to remind you of just one thing, that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. Tithe, it simply means a tenth. And we believe very, very strongly that we give back to God a tenth of anything that comes into our life. We give back a tenth of it back to the Lord as a form of worship and obedience and a way to guard our heart. And so I want to encourage you in that. And there's three ways that you can give digitally. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. This is how my family and I give. Or you might be old school. You can mail in your tithe or offering right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And listen, God bless you, Every Nation. God loves you and for you, and you're going to have an amazing 2022 in Jesus' name. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.